Heroes. This will be our January series coming down off of the Acts sermon that we started last week. If you weren't here last week, you need to go on the online and listen to last week's message and understand what's going on. We've got pamphlets out there about this year's sermon series and the way it's lined out. I don't have a lot of time to talk about it this morning, but it's pretty complex. So we're going down off of our sermon from last week from the book of Acts, Empowered, and we're talking this month, the rest of the month, about being heroes. I want you to flip your bulletins over. We're just going to come right out of the gate, brand new year, taking some notes. So go and flip your bulletins over, and I want you to write this statement down. This is a statement that I heard that really hit me once in my life, and it is, if my life were a book or a movie, would people want to read or watch it? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Think of it that way. If my life were a book or a movie, would people want to read it or watch it? Would it be that interesting? You know, we are drawn to stories. For some of us, it's in the form of a movie. For other people, it's in the form of a book. For some of us gamers, it's in the form of a game. Because games tell stories. The good ones do. Or I don't know if there's anyone here that doesn't enjoy sitting around the table with family and friends or in the living room and just sharing stories and hearing stories. There's something about stories that we're drawn to them. And stories, no matter how long or short they are, they all have very similar elements. All stories have a setting and they have to take place somewhere, right? And all stories have characters. Some stories have a bunch of characters. Some stories have just a few characters. But either way, you have characters. And out of those characters, eventually, two different types of characters will arise. You have a good guy and a bad guy, okay? Or in light of our series, you have a hero and a villain. And then from there, in a story, all stories have some sort of a plot. And the plot follows some certain sequence of events that lead through conflict, which conflict comes in various forms. It could be man versus man, where you've got the hero is a man and he's against another man, which is the villain. Or you've got man versus nature, where some sort of natural obstacle becomes the villain in the story against the hero. Man versus himself, kind of interesting conflict when man is both the villain and the hero in the story. Man versus the supernatural, man versus society, man versus destiny. And all of these different conflicts, whatever the conflict is in the story, eventually it'll reach to a climax and a time where something's going to happen about it. And then you drop down into some sort of an ending or a resolution. Now, stories, you've got good stories and you've got other stories that just don't stick with you. But the good ones, the ones that stick with you, the ones you remember, the movies you want to see over and over again, the books you want to read over and over again, what separates those from the stories is the good ones have purpose. They have meaning. One's purpose may be to teach a point. That's its purpose. Another story, its purpose might be to be funny. And it's funny and it sticks with you because it had purpose. It had meaning. It had an end game in mind. And when I think of my life as a story, and I go back to that original quote that I'd heard from somewhere that, you know, if your life were a book, would someone want to read it? If it were a movie, would someone want to watch it? And I look at my life and I can see my life has the elements of a story in it. I've got setting because, you know, wherever I go, there I am. You know, I've got setting. It's always around me. I'm always somewhere. I've got characters in my life. Boy, do I have some characters in my life. I'm not making eye contact with any of you right now, just to be sure. So I've got plot. There's always something going on. Conflict. And hopefully some sort of resolution comes from that. And so when I look at my story and as we look at our stories, and we look at the difference between a good story and a story that doesn't stick with you, and we ask this question, well, if my story were a book, would someone want to read it? Then really, the thing that makes the difference in a written story is purpose. And so, purpose is also what makes my story worth reading about. It's what makes your story worth reading about. It's what makes your story worthy of the big screen. Think about that, because without purpose in our stories, there's no real hero. There's no real villain. There's no real plot, because there's no purpose. There's no meaning. There's nothing that, there's no conflict. There's no climax. There's no resolution without purpose. But when purpose becomes a part of the story, then there is the need for a hero. Because purpose is always met with obstacles. And you need a hero to overcome those obstacles, whatever those obstacles may be. And we like to see this. We like to read about this. Because we like to connect. Deep inside, we want our story to be like that. Like that book that you love. Or that movie that you watch over and over again. We want that kind of excitement. Many of you know that I've got two boys. I've got a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And my 5-year-old, Isaiah, he is always somebody else. Like, I'm almost concerned about it. But he's Rex. You guys know Rex? No. Those of you guys who have kids, yes. I got some head shaking over here. Captain Rex from the Clone Troopers. Star Wars cartoon animated, or he's a superhero. But the way he is a superhero is he grabs all these powers from different superheroes. He's not satisfied with just being a superhero. He's like, I've got this power and this power and this power and this power. Okay, you're a little greedy superhero. That's what you are. But he has all these, and he's either that or he drops down and he's a knight, you know, with a sword and running around, and he's always the good guy, which I think's pretty, I'm happy about that. But he's always the good guy. Now, Judah, our 4-year-old, he's pretty complacent just going wherever, doing whatever. He rolls with the punches. He's very flexible to a point. And so if Isaiah is over here one day and he's back in the 1500s and he's riding a horse with a sword, and Judah's all right. He'll go and be a knight with Isaiah. Or if Isaiah's a space cadet that day and he's in the Star Wars realm, then Judah will go and he'll be in the Star Wars realm. He'll grab a lightsaber and join in. But the one thing that Judah has a problem with is when Isaiah makes him be the bad guy, or tries to make him be the bad guy. And Judah's resistance to not wanting to be the bad guy makes him the bad guy sometimes, because he's not a man of words. He's 4 years old and he knows how to throw punches. And he doesn't hold back very well. He wants to be the good guy too. He never wants to be the bad guy. Now, I don't think that is just my boys. I believe that's all of us. I think that's true for every one of us. We like watching movies. We like reading stories because we want to be a part of something that is exciting, something that's meaningful, something that has purpose. And I believe that most of us, if not every one of us, deep down inside, we want to be the good guy. We want to be the hero. Just in the last decade, we have just had a movie explosion of comic book heroes that have shown up on the big screen. Have you noticed this? Past 10 years, we've got Spider-Man, Batman, X-Men, Iron Man, Superman, Watchmen, The Incredible Hulk, Kick. We'll skip that one. Daredevil and Elektra, The Fantastic Four, and obscure ones like Ghost Rider or Jonah Hex and Green Lantern, Thor, Captain America just recently was released. I mean, these are just a ton of comic book heroes that have been opened up to all the public, not just your comic book geeks. And people are drawn towards heroes. And it's deeper than just a fictional story. It's a need. The world needs heroes. And here's the catch, church. We need to pay attention to this. The world knows that they need heroes. It's one thing to need something, but when you know you need something, we need to take notice of that. We need to look at that. Looking at this movie explosion, it is a sign of the times, and we cannot miss it. People are searching, they're looking, and they're not just fascinated with the heroes, they're really searching for heroes in their life. What would you say if I told you that you could be a hero? You can. And because you can, you should be. If you knew someone that had special powers, wouldn't you encourage them to use them for the good of the human race? I mean, if your best friend, if there really was a Superman, and he was your best friend, and he came to you and said, hey, I got to tell someone, I can fly. And you're like, dude, come on. And then he starts hovering, you know, and his feet aren't touching the ground. Like, you can fly. And he's like, that's not it. That's not it. I can leap tall buildings in a single. Hey, good job. First service knew these because it was their generation. Let's see how good you guys go. I'm faster than a speeding. Yeah, I'm stronger than a locomotive. Yes. Wouldn't you, would you tell him to keep that to himself? Would you be like, dude, that's weird. You need to keep that quiet. You don't need to be sharing. No, I think a lot of us, most of us be like excited. Like, you need to do something with that. You need to go out and use that for the good of mankind. You need to use your super, you're a superhero. You need to do something. That's exciting. See, in various comic book heroes, in their fictional stories, they deal with this dilemma of how they should use these things they have. They wrestle with this dilemma. Should I use what I have for good? Or should I keep it a secret? Or should I use it for personal gain? And those that become heroes, they emerge from that conundrum with the decision to use what they have for good. So, what about you? What if you found out that you had hero qualities? But I don't have superpowers. I'm not a hero. I can't be a hero. I want you to pause that question for a moment. And let's do an exercise. Let's look at the hero of heroes, Jesus. And of course, to us in church, that's our hero. What are some of the qualities that Jesus had? Some of the hero qualities that he had. Share with me. Healing. He could heal people. All right. What? He controlled the weather. Man versus nature. What? He showed forgiveness. He was a teacher. What? Walked on water. He loved. Meek and strong at the same time. Yes. Water to wine. Yep. All sorts of different miracles there. We clump all the miracles in one area. He taught. He was a teacher. In first service, someone said that he was a rescuer. I thought that was a neat description. Now, of those qualities, we listed a few that were supernatural. But let's just look at the human hero qualities that Jesus had. And let's list those out. Just some basic ones. Some basic human hero qualities. Teaching. Helping. Loving. I'll slow down if you're writing those down. Showing compassion. Investing time. He invested time into people. He spent time with people. He listened to them, listening. As you look at that list that you just wrote down, those are not supernatural qualities. Those are not unattainable fantasy qualities. Now, given Jesus did have a more of an awareness of the reality of God, the reality of the kingdom, the reality of heaven, and I'm sure that fueled his fire more, to love more, to teach more, because he knew that angels and demons were real. He'd seen them. He knew that heaven was real. He'd been there. He came from there. So I believe that fueled his fire more, but still the qualities themselves, they're not out of our reach. They're not unrealistic for us, for you and I. I want you to take a moment and I want you to list just off the top of your head. And then Jesus doesn't count because he's kind of understood to be our hero. All right. And I want you to take your bulletin out. I want you to write down right there. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to write out some heroes that you've had in your life, some earthly heroes. So go on and take a moment, write those down, and I'll give you 30 seconds to do that there. About halfway there. Earthly heroes. All right, put your pens down. So look at your list. I want you to look at who you listed there, and I want to ask you a few things about the person or the people that you listed, or if you didn't write them down, some of the people that came to your mind when you were thinking about your heroes. Did they have superpowers? Could they shoot spider webs out of their wrist? Could they turn into a green Lou Ferrigno when they got angry? Were they a rich young bachelor with a secret cave and a black mask and a really cool car? They might have had the really cool car part. Definitely nowhere as cool as the Batmobile. Or did they have some of these human hero qualities of Jesus? Did they teach you something? Maybe it was a teacher or a coach that was your hero. Did they help you through some hard time, some difficult time? Maybe they helped you out financially, or they were there for you to support you and be with you emotionally when you went through a tough time. Is that why they're your hero? Did they simply love you just for you? You know, if you put your mom or your dad down there as your hero, that's probably one of the reasons why you put them as your hero. They just loved you. Did they show compassion to you or to others? Maybe that was the part about them that was a hero. You saw how they reached out and they showed compassion to so many people, and that became a hero for you. Did they invest time into your life? Did they listen to you? You know, we can all be heroes. Today, it's a very simple message. We have these qualities, and they're not even supernatural qualities. We all have the ability to reach out, and you know that people can be heroes that way because of the list that you've made in front of you. I'll share with you a story. This is a news report I found this past week that came up that goes hand in hand with our subject here.
Here's a little story to remind us what this time of year is supposed to be about. A story that Steve Hartman found on the road in Pennsylvania.
Whether you believe in Santa Claus or God or fate, no matter what you believe, you're not going to believe what happened in Reading, Pennsylvania.
All right, let's go.
It began like all the other times. Every year I go out with Secret Santa, an anonymous businessman who travels the country at Christmas time, randomly going up to people in bus stations and thrift stores and handing out $100 bills.
Are you lying?
No, no, it's true.
Although the reactions are priceless, every year he spends sometimes more than $100,000 of his own money on this.
Here's $100.
And one thing I've always wondered is it really worth it?
You don't know what these people are going to do with this money. Do you care?
No. Because one of the things that I do is I do not judge.
Good thing, because separating the naughty from nice,
and this is for you,
is definitely not his forte.
I didn't earn that.
You did earn it, because I can tell you're a good man.
A good man?
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard that?
Maybe like my mom.
30-year-old Thomas Coates is a total deadbeat. At least by most accounts, including his own.
I wish I was special.
Addicted to heroin, he recently hawked his own son's toys for drug money. That's how bad it is.
I haven't worked in over a year, you know. I spent so much time in and out of treatment facilities.
Why his girlfriend hasn't left him and taken their son is a mystery, even to her.
Grab your bag.
But she is now running out of patience. Which is why, the night before we met him, during yet another one of their many money fights, she suggested he try something radical.
She said, maybe you can shoot a prayer up to God real quick, you know? I know, you know, you don't really believe in him, but maybe you can start.
And so he did pray, for the first time since childhood.
Take it, it's for you. Take it, take it.
Then, out of the blue, the saint shows up, slipping hundreds into his hand. You could almost see the wheels turning. That kind of kindness from a total stranger, the day after he prayed.
You're my man. See you, pal.
It was too much of a coincidence for this atheist to bear.
It's amazing.
That, to me, was a miracle. That was God saying, all right, you had enough now. I'm gonna show you something. So from here on out, it's up to me.
After meeting Secret Santa, Thomas checked himself into a treatment facility. And although he's done it before, he says this will be the first time with a higher power at the helm.
Maybe that gave him the hope that he needs to break his addiction. And maybe that'll be the turning point that'll change his life, and maybe he won't go back. Now, wouldn't that be worth it?
Every penny. Steve Hartman, on the road, in Reading, Pennsylvania.
So simple. We can be heroes. Since we can be, we should be. I want to go to an odd place in the Bible for our scripture today. And I say odd because I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon based on this text. And I don't know if I'll ever do it again because there are some names in here that are tough to pronounce. Romans chapter 16 is a place where Paul gives some shout outs to first century heroes. I'll start reading here. You guys can turn there if you'd like. It's in the New Testament, past the Gospels, past Corinthians and Romans. No, Romans after Acts. Yeah, then Corinthians. Chapter 16, verse 1. Just some shout-outs that Paul had to some people that were heroes to him. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a what? A great help to many people, including me. Great help. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Now, that's a little bigger than great help. They risked their lives. But look what happened. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Which makes me wonder what Paul is saying. Is he saying that if they wouldn't have risked their lives, would that have kept Paul from going to some of the churches and starting some of the churches that he did? Who knows? But he's saying there's a lot of Gentiles that are thankful that they put their life on the line. They risked their lives for him. He says, greet also the church that meets in your house. So these guys, they've offered up their house, Aquila and Priscilla. They said, hey, you can have our house to meet in. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. People were actively sharing Christ. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. Did you catch that? Been in prison with me. That's a big deal. But when we look at the general side of it, they were suffering alongside of him. They were going alongside of him, suffering with him, being there in a time when he was down and out. He says, they are outstanding among the apostles. They were in Christ before I was. Greet Amplitaeus, who I love in the Lord. Greet Eubanius and our fellow worker in Christ, my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelleus, tested and approved in Christ. Tested and approved. That means that he went through something and came out on the other side better because of his faith. He was tested and approved. He went through a tough time. He struggled through a rough time, came out on the other side, and because of his faith, he stood strong and he was victorious, tested and approved. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who do what? Work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. I mean, you think about that. What do mothers do? You know, maybe she took him in. She was giving him hugs and maybe she was giving him meals or a place to stay. Maybe she was even washing his clothes. Whatever it was, she was a mother to him. And as you look and you see that list, none of these people are being commended for, I want to commend so-and-so with a name that's hard to pronounce because they did all of these healings across the whole area of Ephesus. You don't see that in there. I want to thank so-and-so for their amazing show when they walked on water like Jesus did and then busted out some moves and started breakdancing. You know, he's not commending them for these supernatural things. They're really simple things that he's commending them for that they did and they were impactful for the kingdom. Let's look at some, let's list these out real quick. They're in your bulletin. You don't have to write these down. But look at them real quick. Paul commends them for help and work, for sharing in suffering, for offering their house, which we can expand that out to just offering your possessions. You know, we got the Secret Santa video, and man, that guy had some money because he could give out hundreds. I can't do that. But what little I have, I can use, and that can be a blessing. You know, you've got the little boy's lunch that fed 5,000 when Jesus got in his hands. You know, the widow who gave her last two pennies, and Jesus was excited about that and praised her for it. See, it doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. If you're willing to share, when it's in God's hands, it can become something where you're a hero sharing. Actively sharing Christ. Actively being active in the gospel message, spreading the gospel message, working hard and working very hard. We can work. I know you guys. I know a lot of you guys. You can work. You can work very hard. Enduring trials. Some of you might be going through tough stuff right now. You walked in this morning with a whole bag full of just junk that you're dealing with. And you're going through that. And you hold on to your faith and you'll come out on the other side victorious. And you can be a hero for someone else looking up to you and looking at what you're going through. Or when they're going through the same thing, you can say, you know what, I went through that same thing. And I know it'll be different because we're different people. But man, I know it was rough. And here's how I coped. And here's how I came out on the other side because of my faith in God. And you can be a hero. Care and compassion. See, these things are not out of reach. These things are not things that we can't have. They're not unattainable. You can be a hero. I can be a hero. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to write this down. That if Paul were to write about my contributions to the kingdom, what material would he have to work with? If I were going to be added to the list in Romans chapter 16, or if you were going to be added to the list in Romans chapter 16, what would Paul say about you? Greet Dave, who? Greet Jason, who? You know, or would he have any material to work with at all? If Paul were to write about my contributions to the kingdom, what material would he have to work with? See, and we don't have any excuses because we can be heroes, church. Let's write that down. I can be a hero. And then say that with me. I can be a hero. I can be. And we don't have to do any of the supernatural stuff to be a hero. It's so simple. It's so attainable. Jesus took care of the supernatural stuff. He died. He loved mankind to death so that we could love mankind to life. It came from my friend Mike Ladd. He's pretty good at little things like that. I can be a hero. The question is, will I? And that's what I want you guys to commit to right now. Because you can't take this and mull it over. It's a decision that you can make right now. And it's, I will be a hero. Go on and write that down. I will be a hero. And then before you start putting your stuff away, I want you to do something after you write that. If you're going to commit to being a hero, and you're going to find these qualities that you've got, maybe you're good at compassion, maybe you're good at loving on people, maybe you're good at helping and serving, and you're going to take those things and you're going to say, okay, this day I'm going to decide that I'm going to be a hero with the rest of my life. I want you to sign that. I want you to put your signature or just your initials right beside it. Just something between you and God that says, I've committed on this day, on January 8th, 2012, that from this point on, I'm going to live my life like a hero because the world needs a hero. Because the world is looking for a hero. The world is ripe for heroes. And if we want to be the church, like the church in Acts, then we need to understand that we can be heroes. And because we can be heroes, we should be heroes.